Hey, podcasters, thanks for dialing in today. Listen into Connor's call. Interesting question on proximity. Should we move in order to get in better proximity? Listen in to that and more calls right now. Coming to you from Nashville, you're joining a conversation about who you are, what you were born to do, where you want to be, and how you can get there. 844-747-2577. Thrilled to welcome everybody on SiriusXM 121 and via our podcast. If you want to connect with the show to call in, we are live every day in our studio here in Nashville from 12 to 2 Central, 1 to 3 Eastern. And so call the number, 844-747-2577. Got a good chance of getting in. If you don't get through, leave a voicemail or you can email the show, ask@kencoleman.com, and tell Madison, our associate producer, you'd like to be on the show and we'd love to have you. That's why we do it. I can't tell you how many people are reaching out with questions on social media, and that's fine. We will try to get to those on the show from time to time. But, it's very hard to answer it in that format. Because I'm not going to sit there and go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I am the guy on my own social media, okay? So when I reply to you or like something, that's me. The call, that's why I'm here. This isn't a production, a show. This is real life happening right here on the radio. And, Joe, it's funny. I try to remind people, you can call me and I can answer that. I'm here every day. You will get through. We're here to help. It's the best counseling that's free anywhere in America. How about that, Joe? I'll just say that. Why wouldn't you call? It's a free call and the advice is free, which basically means it may not be worth a whole lot to you either. I think it's pretty darn good. Joe, I'm trying to be humble. I'm trying to be humble, Joe. I'm trying not to brag. We can help you because you have the answers. This is what I'm sure of. It's my job to get it out of you. So let's get to it. 844-747-2577. Natalie is on the line in New Orleans. Natalie, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken.
Hi, Natalie. How can I help?
I'm so excited to talk to you.
Well, I'm excited to talk to you. What's going on today?
I've given this a lot of thought, and I wrote some notes. So I want to start with saying I just have this pattern of staying at jobs where I'm unhappy and pretty much miserable. I listened to your recent, it was on YouTube, about somebody called about having a lot of fear, and you talked a lot about fear and doubt. I'm at a turning point. I'm a nurse. I have 17 years of experience, and I'm at a turning point where I can quit my job and take another job or stay at my job or go back to school or just take a sabbatical. I have this dream of taking the rest of the year off. I want to go on a spiritual quest and go on some silent retreats and do some serious spiritual searching. Just made 48 last week. And so I'm just having a lot of doubt about what I'm supposed to be doing. Do I want to stay in nursing? What part of nursing do I want to be in? Do I want to join the convent? I'm having all these different kind of, just a dilemma. Well, and I'm in a job where I work at home, pays really well, and I have good benefits, and it's really flexible. So it's meaningless. Just meaningless and empty. So I'm,
what kind of a job is it?
I'm a claim review nurse for a health insurance company, and I work at home, and they pay pretty well, good benefits.
No, you said that twice. That's a reoccurring theme, and you need to banish that thought for the rest of our conversation, because I think what's happening is you feel stupid almost for even considering leaving such a great gig, because all your friends and family go, Natalie, you got it made. You work at home and you got good pay and good benefits. Why in the world would you leave that? And you're like a prisoner of your own success, feels like to me.
Yeah, completely. They don't get it, and I had to, the girl who told me about your show, she's probably going to be listening, as a good friend who works with me, and I call her for reality check. I'm like, is it really this bad, Jessica? Is it really as bad as we think it is? Because I think that I'm in an abusive environment and I don't realize it, because I'm just, nurses take a lot of you-know-what.
Exactly.
That's how we're trained. And it just doesn't feel right anymore, and I'm trying to honor my true self.
Yeah, here's the deal, though. You're not a nurse. Can I just be really honest with you for a moment? This current role is nothing to do with nursing. You're an insurance claims person who's dealing with everybody yelling at you because they're mad at the insurance company.
Right.
Oh my gosh. By the way, I just want to confirm something. Is that what you're healing? When I did my crazy Southern voice trying to impersonate friends and family, was that right on? Those people are saying that to you?
Pretty much, yeah. They're like, you work at home. What's the problem?
Okay.
You know,
and guess what? So it's not their life.
Right.
It's your life.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you something. When friends and family make you feel silly for wanting to leave safety and comfortability to pursue what your heart's telling you to do, when they do that, many times it's because your move is reminding them that they've never done it themselves. Do you understand?
Yeah. All right. My mom, for example.
Exactly.
You know, Yeah.
So now, those aren't the voices you need to listen to. So I think the big issue is this spiritual journey. Do you have the financial freedom to go on this little sabbatical and then come back and figure it out?
I do. Luckily, I've been wise, and I had to get your book from the library because I'm trying to cut my spending, so I don't spend any extra money on anything right now because I want to tuck it all away.
Oh,
so
well, you know
away.
What? I'm going to give you a copy of my book, The Proximity Principle, so you can take that one back to the library.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm serious. I'm proud of you. But here's the deal. I would take the spiritual sabbatical and not make it just spiritual, but also really take some time to reflect on what your sweet spot is. What is the intersection of what you do best and what you love to do most? And I think the nursing thing is something you need to listen to. I don't know if the convent thing is the way to go. I mean, that's a very, very personal and spiritual thing. It's not a sweet spot thing. So I can't comment on that from my philosophical point of view. But what I can say is that if you have to ask yourself this, if I was a real nurse and I was caring for people, real human beings every day, would that give me joy? You got to answer that.
Yeah, it's a good question. It's frustrating, and in healthcare right now, there's a lot of movement and change going on. And I think just by the nature of the profession as a nurse, we're just trained to be this middleman, and we don't have a whole lot of power, and we're stuck with a lot of responsibility, and people are pulling us all different directions, and it just doesn't feel right. It just doesn't feel right,
But what are other ways you could take care of? Well, let me ask you this. Let's just dream for a minute. I don't want you to overthink this. Let's take away all the potential yuck. What would you really love to do? No risk. Money's there. I give it to you tomorrow. How would you want to serve your fellow man? Because that's what work is. What would it be?
I think I want to just listen and kind of coach a little bit. Part of my homework was asking friends what they thought my strengths were. And
what'd they tell
one
you?
Of my good friends, she said that, I wrote it down too. She said that she feels like I can empower women to find their truth, to guide them to their true self. And I give them confidence and help them to learn to say no, to be independent, to find their own voice. And I help push people to be their best.
Okay, now that's like a purpose sentence, not just talents, what you do best. So when she read that off to you or told you that, how'd you react?
I think it's true. I think it's true. I like fighting for the underdog. I like fighting for women and children, especially if they come from abusive situations. Mm-hmm. And I'm working PRN in a behavioral health hospital, which they're going through a lot of changes right now. So administratively, it's not a good fit right now. But there's an opportunity to work on the adolescent unit at the children's hospital. But they want me to start soon, and I'm afraid that if I don't take the job, it won't be available when I come back and I'm ready. It's just one of those things. But, I trust the universe that the opportunity will be
there. Why don't
you
just have a conversation with them and go, hey, here's the deal. I'm really interested in this and want to do it, but I need to take 4 or 5 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever. What's a middle ground? And say, would they be willing to wait? Why don't you at least ask them?
Yeah, I did, actually. I was thinking more like till the end of the year, but I guess realistically 3 to 4 weeks.
What'd they say?
They're going to call me next week when the director's on vacation.
Let's just wait and see what they say.
Yeah.
But here's the deal.
Possible.
Other roles like that will be available. So here's the three questions. I'm going to give you some more homework because I think you're really darn close. But go back to your top talents list and then the passion list. And I want you to ask yourself these three questions. Who do I most want to help? Is it young people who've dealt with abuse? Is it women who've dealt with abuse? I'm not going to make you share your story, but my wife, Stacy, says that out of great pain comes tremendous passion. And I'll bet you've got a brush with abuse, sounds like to me. We won't make you share that. But you need to ask yourself these three questions. Who do I most want to help? Number one. Number two, who do I most want to help is number one. What problem do I most want to solve is number two. What solution do I most want to provide? Number three. Those three questions allow your brain and heart to connect. And get specific. Write it out. Envision who it is you want to help. By the way, those of you at home, let's do this exercise together just for a moment. You're listening live on Sirius, or you're listening via podcast. Let's just do this. You can't believe the breakthrough this will allow your brain and heart to kind of, if you can't, well, Ken, I don't know my passion. Start here. Write it down. Who do I most want to help? Everybody that calls in the show that doesn't know what their passion is says, Ken, I just want to help people. Well, welcome to the human race. Kind, normal people all want to help others. That's why we do this show on work that matters. What were you created to do? It's not about you. It's about everybody else. Okay. So who do you most want to help? Begin to write it out. Picture their face. Picture their circumstances. Picture their problems. Picture their past. Just giving you some things here to get the brain flowing. Okay. Next question. What problem do you most want to solve? Write that problem down. What's the source of the problem? Who has these problems? Who's treating these problems? Just begin to identify the problem that you get fired up. It pulls your heart. Number three, what solution do you most want to provide? It's another version of saying what problem you most want to solve, but it's a little bit different, and it may be you want to create, this is more entrepreneurial, you're creating the solution. So it's kind of a follow-up to question two. What solutions get you fired up? Those three questions, over time, might be 2 days for some of you, 2 weeks for others, 2 months for others. But you revisit those questions, and what happens is all the noise quiets down, and your heart and head connect. But you can't do these questions thinking about, well, I don't know how I'm going to get there. Stop that nonsense. That's next. You call me for that. But to really understand what it is you're passionate about, work that makes your heart come alive, those three questions will do it. 844-747-2577. We're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. More Ken Coleman Show coming up on SiriusXM. Hey, folks. Fall is just around the corner, and it's hard to believe. And you're either going to make the decision now to change your future, or you're not. Listen up. I'm going to tell you right now how you can enter to win one of four $5,000 scholarships that Liberty University is giving away to their online programs. $5,000. Did you hear that, folks? It's time to stop thinking about it and actually do it. Life is way too short to be stuck in a boring job or to go to a job that you absolutely dread. Liberty University's online programs can help you further your career, become a leader in your industry, and get prepared for the job you really love and were called to do. With over 600 degrees offered through 17 colleges and schools that will prepare you to thrive, it's go time. To find out about entering to win the $5,000 scholarships and see the official rules, go to liberty.edu/Ken. Enter to win and apply now. liberty.edu/Ken. I am so excited about our two free resources at kencoleman.com. It's about helping you get the job that you're looking for. Here are the two resources: how to write the perfect resume, 5 ways to fix your resume and land the dream job. What are we doing in this guide? We are helping you understand that a resume without a relationship is worthless. We're going to teach you how to flip the resume with an actual template so you lead with who you know. Next, once you get that perfect resume submitted with a connection, you're going to get a phone call. And then the interview is the moment where you've got to perform. How to Win the Interview is the second resource. 5 strategies on standing out in the hiring process. Folks, you've got to win the interview. And we walk you through the 5 things you need to be prepared for so that you can perform and get the job. Both resources, our Get Hired Guides, are free right now. KenColeman.com. Don't wait a second. Go KenColeman.com and get hired. Welcome back, America. We are helping you step out with clarity and confidence onto your path to fulfilling your purpose. You were created to fill a unique role. That means you're needed, and that means you must do it. We're here to help you do it, right? You got the answers. Trust me. It's my job to get them out of you. Give us a chance. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. Let's go to John, who's on the line in Waynesboro, Pennsylvania. John, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hello, Ken. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. How can I help?
I've been listening to you for a while, and Entree Leadership and Dave Ramsey's. I listened to you on the podcast because I'm on the radio. But basically, I was in my dream job. I had it. I thought I was locked down, but the environment became unhealthy, and then the promotions stopped. I hit the top, couldn't go up any higher, couldn't get any more money. So I left, and I left before I grabbed my next dream job, obviously, and because of how unhealthy it was. I dipped out because I didn't want to be fired, and it just was not pleasant at all. So anyway, so I left, and I just grabbed the next job that was available. So I didn't go down in wage, but I just kind of grabbed a job I knew I wasn't going to stay at. Anyway, while applying for more jobs, and basically not landing anything that I want. It's been a year, and people are saying it's because I'm not qualified, and qualification in the sense of probably college is my thing, because I do not have a college degree, and I got my dream job by working from the bottom all the way up. And now that I'm up here, or I was up here, nobody wants like what I am or what I provide without the college degree. And it's the only thing missing on every requirement for every job. I've got everything else except the college degree.
How are you applying How are you applying for these jobs? Tell me about the process.
So some of them are using your proximity principle. I got your book. So some of them are like that, using my resources, and I don't know if they're just not vouching for me when they drop off the resume or what.
So that's the problem. If you're using my system and you're using the proximity principle, you should know the answer to that question. Like, these are people who are like, hey, John, I got you, man. And they're not just dropping the resume off on the desk when the person's not in the room and sneaking out. They're recommending you aggressively, and they're saying, hey, you understand what I'm saying? It's not this just, I've said this on the show before, but it occurs to me some people might take me literally. When I say they walk in and drop your resume off on the desk, I don't mean like a passive way. I mean, they're going in there going, let me tell you about John. I know John this way, and John is a great culture fit. I think he's certainly qualified for this, and I'm here to tell you that I endorse him fully as a co-member of the team here, and highly recommend that you interview him. Like, that needs to happen, and you don't even know if that's happening, because you said to me, well, Ken, I don't know if they're just dropping it off or they're not vouching for it. Whoa, wait a second. So yeah. you have, and I'm not getting on you, but you have technically done what I told you to do, but you have not fully done what I've told you to do. Do you see the difference?
Yeah, that's, but I don't know if they're like, yeah, I'll talk on your behalf to my face. And then when it comes to the grind, they actually don't.
But my point is, but that's your fault, not theirs. Are you following up with these people going, hey, how'd you interact with them? How'd it go? Like,
yeah, every day. Every day. I call them every day. I'm like, hey.
And they say what?
They said they dropped it off. They talked to the manager. They talked to the hiring manager. They recommended me. Like, they say these things.
Yeah.
But also they're just, like, blowing smoke. Because I feel like
what's your gut
they
tell
might
you?
Be blowing smoke.
I think they're blowing smoke.
They might
smoke.
Be blowing smoke.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how it is.
And so now let me tell you this. That speaks to the quality of your connection. That's going to happen from time to time. But I mean,
I'm not done yet.
No, you're not done.
Am I on the right path?
Well, you are.
I'm doing it right.
Well, yes, because what is the role? Tell me what this role is that you're looking for.
Director of production.
What does that mean?
So in my previous role, that was the title, and I was in charge of everybody in the building. So the building it was 15 to 30 employees, depending on the seasons.
Hold on. Is this in a manufacturing setting? What are we talking about?
Yeah, manufacturing. Yep.
Okay. Let me ask you a
Director
question.
Of production and manufacturing. Yep.
Is there a college degree that prepares somebody to do that job?
There are several that people talk about. Business degree. And then
that's not what I asked.
Industrial engineering.
That's not what I asked. Is there a college degree that walks somebody through managing 28 people in a manufacturing environment?
I'm not sure about the managing, but the technician or the technical part of the manufacturing and systems and things like that.
Okay, great. But my point is, I guess my point is, I don't feel like a college degree is holding you back in these scenarios. I just feel like you're not making strong enough a connection, and you aren't walking into these. Your name isn't being bandied about the way it should be for you to get the interview. You're not even getting interviews. It'd be one thing if you had gotten a bunch of interviews and it's not working, then it'd be a whole different conversation. You're not even getting a ticket to the dance, man. And so that's your fault. And
the connections.
Yeah.
My connections.
They're not strong enough.
Stronger connections. Okay.
I'm going to tell you something right now. If I was doing this, I would only be working these connections with people that I know are like hardcore fans of John. And what I mean is they may not be your best friend. They may be an acquaintance, but they're a fan enough to where they go, this is a good fit. Yeah, I get it. Not, yeah, I'll do it. Mm-hmm. You see the difference?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
You know,
so one of the connections I have of that is my brother. And I haven't approached him yet because I'm not exactly sure if the position I want is not offered at his place yet, but I don't want people to think, oh, yeah, he got the job because of his brother.
Who cares what people
Unless
think?
Unless that's okay. All right. Kind of, that's what I was thinking too. I was like, you know what? Y'all can just jump off a cliff because I'm going to just go and do my thing.
Yeah, go pound sand.
All right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Hey, you go out, find some sand, and pound it. You know, I don't really care what you think. Here's the point. There's not a whole lot of strategy here that you and I need to talk about. This is a function and you got to stay with it, but you've got to work better connections. And you can't just rely on somebody else taking your resume. You got to go meet the right people. You yourself, the proximity principle works best. If you've read the book, you know that it's not about the web of connections. That's a chapter way at the back of the book on how to get things going. But the web of connections are to be used not necessarily to get interviews. It's great if you can get a job every day, but the web of connections is all about getting around the right people and in the right places. And when you're around the right people who are doing the kind of things you want to do, and you're in the places where what you want to do is happening, guess what happens, John? Opportunity comes your way. You have to be the lead dog in your race.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I just think it's a shift from relying on everybody else to submit your resume to you have to be making the momentum happen. That's the difference. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Harley, who's on the line in Ontario, Canada. Harley, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. I wanted to thank you for your book, but mostly I love how it's organized. It's really, like, I really want to thank you for that so I can refer to it and take notes. I really appreciate what you've done there.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. How can I help today?
Yes, so I've read your book, and I am in an amazing place to learn and grow and perform. However, I've got an option to take another job with corrections, mm-hmm. where I could also learn, grow, and perform. It pays significantly more. I know I've already lost this place that I'm at. I'm worried about corrections, but I'm also significantly in debt, and I'm a single mom.
Yeah.
And so I don't know, you know, I'm having trouble making this decision.
Well, I think it comes down to one thing, what you're most afraid of, because on paper, this seems like a really good decision to take this new opportunity, because you can continue to grow and develop. And the question is, does it at least get you further down the path towards the type of work you want to do? Or is it in that dream job space to where you're going to be very fulfilled? Is that the case?
I think long term, they'll both eventually lead to the same spot.
Great.
I am worried about, you know, being in a prison. So it would be like a correctional officer would lead to the social workspace I'd like to be.
So this is as
I'm worried about the experience.
I got it. So that's what I wanted to know.
Yeah.
So we have to name the biggest fear. And my job right now is to help you look at that fear from every angle. And let's see if that fear is real, or if it's a situation where you have a legitimate concern. What would the role be? Is it as a corrections officer? So you're responsible? So you're moving prisoners in and out.
And just like, so it would be doing the range, doing like, so the correctional officers are just, you know, like it changes, you know, doing transports to hospital, things like that, walking the range, doing work like that.
Are you worried about your safety, your physical safety? Sounds like it to me.
No, not at all.
Oh, then what are you worried about?
I think what I'm worried about is, like right now I'm working straight days, and I'm also bipolar, and this is my first year, I'd say, being really well settled, where I can even think about long-term plans and goals.
Gotcha.
And I'm worried about how shift work might unsettle that, how the stress... Like just like right now, it's a lot of uncertainty. But I think becoming unbalanced would be one of my biggest fears.
Okay, so have you talked to your therapist about that? No.
I'm not really seeing anyone. Like, because I'm well.
Well, okay, I know that you're well, but there was a point. Yeah. Did you not go through some counseling to get through and get healthy on this bipolar stuff?
Over time I have, but it's just like it was a medication, like it was getting a correct diagnosis that really helped. Like, so
okay.
Everything is...
Well, okay,
stupid.
great. So
yeah.
I'm going to be very sensitive and careful here because I am not a medical professional.
Oh, don't be.
Okay.
Okay, that's yeah.
But what about the schedule change would mess up the medication which is helping you?
Oh, so it's not so much the medication, but just to stay well, things like... having a consistent routine, making sure I'm working out every day, making sure I'm getting a decent amount of sleep, like that can be really unsettling.
Yes, I know. But my point is, if you change your shift, you're still going to be able to eat, sleep, and exercise. Yes?
Oh, that's true. Yeah. That's fair.
I mean, you're just on a different schedule, and that's not going to be fun.
Yeah.
But if you have got the routine of diet, the right foods, you've got exercise, you're not worried about your physical safety. And this gets you to the same destination, you believe, as the current place that you are in, I don't see anything that you need to be concerned about, because you're good. You're healthy. You're a rock star. You're a superwoman, being a single mom. And that increased income is going to change your life, isn't it?
Absolutely.
I say go for it. But you got to be disciplined. You know your health better than anybody. You got to be disciplined to make sure that you know, you are getting the right amount of sleep and that you've got support for your kids and that all is taken care of, so that you just go, all right, this is a shift right now and it's not a long-term shift, but you believe it's going to help you get to that dream role of being a social worker. Is that what you're telling me?
Well, I'm not sure exactly what the dream role is, but I know, like, right now I'm in addictions and mental health center. Like, I know these are my people.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure exactly where the role is. Oh, yeah. These are my people. But it's just trying to figure out what the role is. And that's what I'm doing right now. You know what I mean? I'm in position where I can see what everybody else is doing.
Good. Well, if you think this makes you more valuable and keeps you in the area right? So the sweet spot is a big area. If this keeps you in that area and it doubles your pay or significantly increases your pay and you can make the adjustment, go for it. I absolutely think you should go for it.
Thank you so much. I'm feeling better already.
Well, and you should feel better because you have won the fight. How about Harley? Another single mom overcoming a massive thing. Bipolar stuff is no joke. And good on you, Harley. Really, really proud of you. And you're going to feel so much more confidence about yourself as you step into this new role. You're making more money. Get out of debt. Don't stop. Because if you get out of debt, Harley, let's say 2-3 years from now, you're out of debt. And you're going, okay, it's time for me to do something new. Do you see the freedom that you will have? The financial freedom is huge. Huge. Let's go to Chris, who's on the line in Houston, Texas. Chris, you're on the Ken Coleman Show. Hello, Chris. Chris, are you there? Going once, going twice. We'll try to get Chris back. Let's see. Marion, Illinois, where Connor is on the line. Connor, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken.
Hey, Connor.
How's it going?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
I'm well. I know you're a big college athletics fan.
Yes.
And I've had some challenges trying to break back into student athlete support services.
Okay.
So that's kind of where I'm at. I worked in it for a time, went out into the professional world, financial services, sales, development. That's a role I'm kind of currently in, is more of a sales role.
Right.
I've got in proximity. I went to the national convention for student athlete enhancement and academic advisor professionals.
Mm-hmm.
But I have not had luck breaking through some of those barriers. And my wife and I are at a point where we know this is a very, very clear path. I'm an encourager. I'm a leader. I want to instill that in young adults and student athletes. I love the competitive nature.
Yep.
But we are at a point where do we need to move to get in proximity to more opportunities? Or
not specifically. You don't like, generally speaking, no. You went to one convention, if I understand you right, and I'm proud of you. Okay, but when I say it back to you that way, you're kind of like, oh. Like, one convention of you being in proximity does not deliver the dream job. Now, it happens from time to time, but it's extremely rare. And I write that over and over in my book. Like, this is a process. It took me 7 years, Chris. I mean, excuse me, Connor. And so this is a process. You need to go to more conventions or go to that same convention again. But then what are you doing when you're not at the convention? What are you doing every night? What are you doing every weekend? Mm-hmm. What is your activity that is consistently giving you access to the right people in the right places? There's a lot of right people and a lot of right places for you. So, for instance, you know, who are the producers? And that's one of the archetypes in the book, The Proximity Principle. Mm-hmm. So who are the people, the men and women that are really well known in that industry, that are known as either the godfather, godmother, whatever you want to call them, you know, they're the Mount Rushmore. Who are those people? You know, do you have a mentor? Or could you find a mentor who is going to hold you accountable to keep going after this every day? This is going to take some time. I would stay put for the moment in the current job because it's stability. I would not uproot the family because right now you can't just move to some new location and get this job. These jobs are at every college campus, I'm guessing, every D1 school.
Mostly, higher level, but mostly mid-major and Power Five. Yeah.
All right, and they are a position in the athletic department, yes or no?
Correct, yes.
Okay, so the only way you're moving is if you take a position in an athletic department that gets you close. See, that would be a proximity play. Well, I'm going to go take a job in the athletic department that is kind of in this area because their guy or gal that's in that role right now is not there, but they think they're leaving. And you see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like that, or you just go, I want to work at this school. I want to work at the, I'm making this up. I want to work at the University of Illinois. Well, I'm going to go get a job in the athletic department doing some type of student personal athlete development or whatever until I can work my way up, or maybe I get the credentials, and by being at the University of Illinois, it opens me up to some other schools. You know, you have to build a reputation, not just a resume. And so a proximity play to get hired in an athletic department doing something close to that, or just being in the athletic department where you're now in the building, now it's a game changer for you to move into that position. Do you see what I'm saying?
Exactly. Yeah. And that, and part of the question arises from people that know me best. You know, you're best in front of people. You're best when you can reveal your character in front of them. And so that's, and from your book, I don't feel that there's a Mount Everest nearby.
Okay.
And so that's been a little bit of a challenge.
Okay. Well, that's okay. Where do you have a hunch? I mean, explain to me why you would move and where you would move. Give me, do you have a real plan?
Yeah. Well, I have family that lives in Birmingham, and, within an hour and a half drive of Birmingham, there's about four or five institutions that there could be a possibility to get involved. And maybe you start as a tutor coordinator. Maybe you start as something.
Hey, but, I like it. Now we're getting somewhere, Connor. You didn't present the question that way. Can you replace your income in Birmingham?
I think we can. We would have to, actually, in the role that I currently am, I could take my income with me. So it would be my wife changing roles, though.
Well, what's she do?
She's in healthcare.
Oh, my gosh. Connor, we could have saved about 4 minutes if you would have started the call off by saying all of the stuff you just said to me. I'm not getting on you. This is a totally different scenario than what you presented, which was just, should I move? So I should have asked a better question earlier. So now we got a different situation. Yes, I would move to Birmingham. I would have the wife start looking tonight to replace her income. You stay in your job, you take it with you, and then you practice the proximity principle, exactly everything I've already said, and it's in the book, but yeah, you're hopping in the car and you're driving to Tuscaloosa, you're driving to Nashville, you know, you're living at University of Alabama, Birmingham, you know, I mean,
Auburn,
there you go, you know, Birmingham's what, 2-3 hours from Atlanta?
Sanford University is in Birmingham as well.
Oh, my gosh. You said the magic words. Madison, the associate producer, is giving me the touchdown signal through the glass. She went to Sanford. She's a proud Sanford alum. Go Bulldogs, she said. Totally different scenario. Yes, I would move because it's going to make it easier for you to connect in the sense that these are day trips with the car. But, yeah, absolutely move. So, Chris, I'm sorry I didn't pull that out of you sooner. But now that we got all the details, that is an absolute good move. Let's go to Chris again. See if we can get him on the line. Houston, Texas. Chris, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Ken, can you hear me?
I can. We got about 2 minutes. Let's see if we can help you out.
Okay, I'll make it quick. Ken, I just finished reading your book and wanted to know if the path that I'm on right now is the right one.
Okay, tell me.
So I think I know my sweet spot and my skills, but I don't know if the company that I'm working at and the current world that I'm in is the reason why, you know, I'm not feeling right about it, but, you know, not feeling fired up. But, you know, I've been told that I'm good at speaking to others. I'm good with working with other people, getting a good connection. I'm funny. I can work a room. At least, you know, that's what the closest people around me would tell me. But, you know, and so I've been in this sales and account management role for about a few months. The company has moved me up from, you know, from a logistics position to operations position, and now it's just a step up.
So what do you want to do? Tell me what you want to do.
I think I want to be in sales and account management as well, you know, but I just don't know if it's the company that's throwing me off.
Well, what's throwing you off?
Well, it's just, I guess, just the environment that I'm working in. It's very aggressive. It's very, you know, it's competitive, but it's just not right. It's very toxic. Management is rough around. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So here's the deal. You're doing the right thing in the wrong place. Because let me ask you the ultimate million-dollar question here. If I replaced that toxicity right now that you're feeling, all that nasty, yucky junk you just described, and it wasn't like that, would you be fired up? Would you be questioning anything?
I believe so, yes. I guess what, Ken, my fear is that, you know, I just got moved up into this position. I just got my college degree, and that's why they, you know, they trust in me, and they really asked me to move into the sales and account management role. But I'm just afraid that, you know, if I take these skills and go to another company, will I be taking a step down because I don't have the sales and account management experience?
No, not at all. Here's the situation. You have to reexamine your why. Why do you, you said very clearly that you love the idea of doing this. So go do it in a better place. Our time is almost up, but before I let you go, you matter and you do have what it takes. Thanks for joining the conversation. Until next time, this is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
Hey, folks, I want you to check out our other Ramsey Network podcasts, such as The Dave Ramsey Show.
If you're looking for boring financial talk, you're in the wrong place. This is not your mother's 401k meeting. This is Life on the Radio. And it's just downright entertaining. That's why there's about 14 million of you out there today. Thanks for hanging out with us, America. We're glad you're there.
To hear full episodes, just search Dave Ramsey wherever you listen to podcasts or go to DaveRamsey.com.